Hey, you're listening to Smoke Meat. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoke Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Great place to go. They always treat you great when you go in. You got great food, great drinks, great people, and some great entertainment when you go in. Remember, that's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. Today, I have got such a special guest. I've been looking forward to this. I've got a person who is a real-life comic book hero. She is the queen of the paranormal, not just a paranormal investigator. She is the queen of the paranormal. I've got KO here with me today, and I want everybody to check it out. Just have a great time listening, and go on ahead and kick back, cut out the lights for a special edition of the Smoked Meat Podcast. So how are you today, KO?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Any better, I'd be twins. Oh, yeah.
You're so silly.
Oh, man. I tell you, it's cool to be sitting here talking to the queen of the paranormal. It is just awesome. My own comic book character, too. That is amazing that you are a comic book character, too.
Tell me
a little bit about the book. I know it's Celebrity Ghost Hunters.
Well, the comic, Celebrity Ghost Hunters comic book is super cool. And what we did was I went with Eileen Shapiro and Ron Russell and Jimmy Starr and a rock star. And we went on two separate occasions to a place called Kings Park Asylum in Long Island, in Kings Park, Long Island. And I did have permission, which is one of the rarities. No other ghost show could get permission. We got it, and I had it in a folder, took it with us in case the police come. And so we did that, and you know, Jimmy Starr puts it up, and next thing you know, in 2 days, it's viral. And we're like, oh, my God. So let's rush down and do another one. So we did another one, a smaller one, and with another rock star. And so what I did, and that went viral. So we talked about, hey, maybe we should do a comic book, because I had already had comic books out. So I wrote the story. I combined the two comic the two ghost hunts that went viral to turn it into one story. And it's a true story. None of the stuff is made up even in the comic book. It's just not. It's not like embellished or anything. These things really happen. And so we did that. We went on Kickstarter and raised money so that we could pay the artist, pay the author, and get the printing done. We didn't make a dime. That's okay. We will make it on the other end when we sell everything.
Yeah.
And so, we did that. And, you know, there's such funny things that were going on while we were there, like trying to get into the asylum was just crazy, because there were fences and trees. And one of the incidents is our friend Eileen Shapiro. She was climbing over a fence, and she's a woman. She's a short, and she's very busty, and her breast got stuck on the fence, and it was just hysterical. And here we are filming. This is really happening, right? We were laughing, and just it was a ghost hunt just full of laughs like that. And it's a very adultish. And we had Ron Russell, who's just a total, you know, cut-up comedian.
Yeah.
And he was, like, you know, talking about a glory hole and a wall and just, like, all the stuff, you know. And I wonder why the thing went viral. People went crazy over it.
So
we put all of that into the book. And one of the things that was highly unusual and kind of startling was I had asked the spirits during an EVP. I asked them, do you know who we are, or something like that, or do you know who I am? Because I had been there several times. And the voice came back. It said, Jimmy Starr, as clear as a bell. And we just all stood there, got shivers right up our spine. Like, how would they know Jimmy? They remembered us saying his name over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the recording's there, and that's on the viral thing. You can hear it because it's live. We taped it live, and it says Jimmy Starr. It's amazing. And Ron Russell's been a ghost hunter spirit communicator for so many years, and he was right on cue with the dowsing rods and doing all his stuff and talking to the spirits, you know, like the way I would. And we went into sections of the asylum where no one has been. They still had. Now, you remember this asylum had been there, you know, it was self-managed, meaning they had gardens, they had a farm for meat, they had everything there. It was self-contained, I mean. Mm-hmm. And they did have other people come in, but they had woodworking places and raised their own crops and sold furniture and just did all this stuff together. Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing, amazing place. And we were in, this was long before the drug Thorazine. This was even before they did lobotomies. So we go past that. And we all know that people who suffer from, you know, mental handicaps and things, when there is a full moon and the pull of the gravity, and they say sometimes the chemicals in the brain react to the pull of the gravity so strong that it makes a lot of people with psychological problems have even more problems. So yeah. Where we were was an area where they actually would restrain people on the walls or on like the ceiling with their arms up, and we took pictures and, you know, video footage of all of that. And that was very sad to see that they treated people like this, but they didn't know what else to do. They would chain them to the beds down there because they just had no way for treatment until medication and lobotomies, which they also administered there as well. We went into the hospital wing, and it was a history lesson to behold, put yeah. it that way. And the energy was just amazing. And all of that and all those tidbits are put right into that comic book, all the fun, all the experiences, but most of all, a lot of the historical knowledge. So that's something which is great. And since then, we're going to be doing another one, this coming fall. And we also developed the Ghost Hunters, the movie, which is on IMDb. We're under development now on how we're going to put that together, because it seems to be a hot topic, especially when it's absolutely real, happening in front of you and not made up like a ghost show with producers that have never, been in the field of the paranormal. So, not saying anything slight about ghost shows. But hey, entertainment's entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
But when you do get out in the field and you don't have that, you're just really in places that no one has been for so many decades, the spirits are alive and well, and they're coming out to say hello in a whole bunch of different ways to you.
Yeah, and it's, I've done that for a long time myself, and it's really cool whenever you do get to go somewhere that, you know, nobody gets to go, and because... You know, I'm like you. I always get permission first, because if I ever go to jail, it's going to be for something a whole lot bigger than ghost hunting.
I know what you mean. There is a tunnel. There's a tunnel in Massachusetts called the Hoosac Tunnel. It's from North Adams, Massachusetts, going all the way to Florida, Massachusetts, 5 miles through the Hoosac Mountain Range. And you have the Deerfield River on one side, and you have the Hoosac River on the other side. And it's an amazing feat. And I asked you the permission in writing from a retired CEO of Pan Am Rail Services to go through there and film. And the popular ghost hunting shows, they just had to stand outside the tunnel. They weren't allowed in. They would have been arrested. But I got to go all the 5 miles filming, doing investigations. And I was told the reason I get the permission is I keep the historical data intact, without any kind of tomfoolery. Like, did you hear that? And, oh, my God, and run around. You know, I try to keep a very heavy hand on the history to keep that intact. And I'm also healing as I go. It's a different concept. Mm-hmm. And so I'm allowed to get into a lot of places that people can't. And I don't really like going to the places that too many people have gone to, because it's been, like, done to death. I mean, no pun intended. But... the energy just like been there and gone. I think it's trying to live on its laurels, and a lot of people have a placebo effect because they've heard so many stories. But as far as reality goes, I have seldomly gotten any evidence from places that have been done to death.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody thinks that everywhere we go is so haunted and we're going to get pictures and EVPs and everything else. And everywhere's not haunted.
Now, you might have spirits everywhere, but it doesn't mean it's haunted.
Yeah.
It just means it happens to be energy from the past floating around, ebbing and flowing. And that's also what people don't understand. They don't understand that in our environment, energy ebbs and flows. It's a natural occurring pattern. And because you have hypersensitive equipment, it will set your equipment off. It doesn't mean you have a ghost. It just happens to mean the electrical pattern at that time was high enough that it hit your equipment.
Yeah.
Even the standard equipment, like middle-of-the-line stuff, you can hold up your EMF meter, which is an electric field meter. You can hold it up to your cell phone. It will go off. It'll go off for a pacemaker or hearing aid, impulse wiring in the walls. So there's a lot to be said for that kind of equipment. But we were using dowsing rods. And we didn't bring the other, you know, tech equipment like a recorder and all that, too. Mm-hmm. But we brought dowsing rods. They've been using those for, like, you know, thousands of years to detect water, minerals, gold. Haven't found any gold yet because I would be a millionaire if I did, right?
I feel your pain on that one. I tell you.
So the whole thing is detecting the energy from the past.
Yeah.
And if you don't stand near a water main or an electrical panel, you do it sensibly. And if it reacts to questions you ask from a relative that passed away, and if you're holding it and I'm not holding it, and we're holding the actual rods, not these sheaths that they put over the rods. Mm-hmm. You're actually holding the brass rods. So if I'm not moving them and you're not moving them, who the hell's moving them?
Exactly.
On command when you ask a question. At that point, I would have to suggest quite possibly you hit the energy that remains from a relative that passed away that you're asking questions to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love doing it. I haven't gotten to do it in a long time, but I've got a new recorder that I'm aching to take out with me.
Recorders are fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one, you know, before anytime I'd do EVPs, I'd have to go back and review it and all that. Well, this recorder, I actually bought it for the podcast and found out if I have headphones plugged in, I can hear everything that goes into it real time. So,
right. I think that's good. What I developed, people were doing the EVPs and they would, you know, check all the stuff when they got back, or they'd run the recorders the entire length of the event or the ghost hunting investigation. Then they'd go back and they'd study it all. What I did was I had a little reel-to-reel, this goes back years ago, little reel-to-reel tape recorder, very small one, and I would ask a series of three questions, rewind the tape, and play it back right on a program that I was doing. And I call it instant EVPs, and everybody uses it now, but they refuse to give me credit for it, and but I did get credit with the Paranormal Hall of Fame, .org and .com, that I was the first one to establish that. So that's good kudo there for a woman.
And yes, indeed.
It's fascinating that you can actually hear it. And sometimes, and this is strange, and you should go back and listen to your EVPs too, with the method that you have, is that you listen to it, and let's say you don't have anything. I don't hear anything. When you get home, you're listening again a few days later, and oh my God, there's a voice there that was not there before.
Yeah.
Now figure that one out. I have no idea how that phenomenon happens, but it does. Did you sneeze?
I coughed a little bit, but I had my slider turned down.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
But I thought you sneezed. God bless you.
Well, thank you. But yeah, I love EVPs because I've actually had them change. I've had them go away. I've had them, like I say, where they just suddenly came up. And it's really strange.
Yeah.
The way that I do the podcast, I record like we are now, and then I'll go back and I'll record an intro. Well, I'm here alone in the house most of the time when I'm doing it. And, you know, when I interviewed Stacey Toy, I was the only one in the house, everything quiet. She was the only one in her house, everything quiet. And right as I started the show where, like I just said, hey, how are you? You hear a voice whisper really loud, I can hear him.
Wow.
Yeah, that was wicked. Only time I've ever gotten one on the show, but that was so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's so fascinating. And again, I think it's fascinating when all of a sudden, you know, you're listening and it's not there, and then it's there.
Yeah.
When you get home or later on in the evening, and you know, that's incredible. And that's what's so fascinating about it. And when I do EVPs, I turn the recorder on and I count to about 3 or 4, maybe 5, and then I ask the question.
Yeah.
And then I give them about the same amount of time before I ask another one, because you never know where it's going to place its voice, before the question or after the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll answer. And yeah, that's what happened when we did the ghost hunt at Kings Park Asylum. When we asked the question, like, you know us or something, I can't really remember offhand what we asked. It was specific, and a name came up, Jimmy Starr.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. Like, we were just, like I said, we're staring at each other like, play that over again, please. I can't believe I heard that.
Well,
and yeah, so that's all live that we did, and you can clearly see that on the, if you go to Jimmy Starr,
mm-hmm.
He has a YouTube page. You can go there and you can watch that, and you can see all the hits we've had on it. And it's amazing. And when we did the Kickstarter, we decided to sell the rock star image, like the rock star place for the comic books. So if somebody wanted to be in the comics with us,
mm-hmm.
then they could, you know, there was a price for that, so yeah. We could get it printed and stuff. And we had a gentleman, Charles Moisette, who actually was the first one that asked me to be in a comic book. So it's so ironic how the circle goes around, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, he was the company, and Brian K. Morris, the one that wrote the book for Celebrity Ghost Hunters. He also wrote the book, for the first comic book that I was in, and subsequent every comic book after that, Brian Morris has written. He's a comic historian and an award-winning author in the comic genre there. Charles Moyer said the comic book was Haunted Tales of Bachelor's Grove, and we have six series coming out, 6 books, and he's on his 3rd one now.
Very cool.
And these are all, and when I'm in it, it's all, everything I've done, like, it's real. It's not like I'm going to make up and go fly over there or something. I can't fly, but I can kick real good and run fast.
Wow.
Things like that. And my other comic books, Queen of the Paranormal and The Adventures, are all based on real documented things that I have done, like, you know, rescuing a dog from a burning apartment building and carrying it out, doing CPR and stuff like these things really happen. We're doing one on how I had a shooter, a would-be school shooter in the yard, who pulled a gun on me and tried to shoot me, and I kicked it from him, and then he tried to shoot me again, but the gun never dislodged, so I don't know what happened. Hey, he had a cheap gun, because a kick should not have caused that effect.
Yeah.
So I think God was with me, and the gun was no good. He was a drug addict or something. So.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell
you, blessed to be able to still be here.
I'm happy that you are. You know, and I'll tell you. I love ghost hunting, and I've been a lot. But my goal now is a worthy goal. My goal now is to go with Eileen Shapiro, Jimmy Starr, and Ron Russell. Oh, my God, I bet that was so much fun. Because Ron is belt-fed. Ron is wide open from minute one to the end.
Oh, he is.
Oh,
he really is. And the thing is Ronnie, he's so knowledgeable when it comes to the field of ghost hunting, because he's done it. He's been there, done that, you know? And I, well, they call me a professional or expert or whatever, but we all can learn something.
Yeah.
Always can learn something from other people by watching their techniques, listening to their verbiage, their timing of their verbiage. Sometimes it's real important, because of the timing of the verbiage and how he's saying his words, you know, gets a response. Well, there must be a reason for that. Maybe I'm talking too fast, or maybe I'm not doing something right. And I'll try it his way, because we all can learn something. And Eileen, that she's just precious. I really like her. She is such a cool chick.
I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing, and I can't wait to get out there in the fall and you know, get started with all this again, and us being a team again, and you know, just being the cut-ups that we are, and showing the paranormal at a level that is like 100% real and not made up for TV. Yeah. And that's it.
Y'all need to come down to Georgia.
I'd love to do that. Are you kidding me?
We have got a lot of places.
I'd love to do that. I'm waiting for the COVID to go away.
Oh, man, me and you both.
Forever, but, you know, or substantially go away. You know, I take care of my family, and it would be extremely difficult to catch something because I don't know who would take care of them, you know?
Yeah. So, well, make sure you mask up, and you basically the way to fix this thing is do what we learned in kindergarten. Wash your hands.
Yeah, I do.
Don't touch your face and all that. And people need to understand that. They drive me nuts.
You know, I grew up where my Babcha's grandmother and my Sara Babka, my Babcha Rogala, that's a great-grandmother or older woman, they call that. And they would always tell me when I was very young and there was somebody sick or whatever, cover your face, cover your face. And they'd pull up their aprons and cover the face to walk by or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I learned that at a young age. I also learned, do not touch your face with your hands. These came from old Polish and Russian women. Mm-hmm. Don't put your hands on your face. Don't do that because it gets in your eyes and your nose. They call them, you know, bugs, germs. And you're going to get sick. Stay away from that. And when someone's coughing, stay away. But just to learn those simple things, wash your hands. Don't put your hands, you know, on your face, your eyes, nose, and mouth. These were practices years ago. Cover your mouth.
Yeah.
And when someone's sick, so you don't get sick, or vice versa. You know, my grandmother and great-grandmother taught me that, you know, and they taught my mom, too. So you're like, we knew all this stuff, and now we have COVID, and this is a brand-new thing.
Yep.
You know? When I know someone has the flu, I don't go near them.
Exactly.
But this disease, you don't know, so you have to be prepared.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, KO, I've had a great time today. And you know you're welcome on here anytime.
Oh, that's great. Now that we're family, let's talk about eating something good.
y'all come to Atlanta. Y'all are fed. Oh, yeah. Come to Atlanta, bring you some jogging pants or something because you're going to gain a little weight. Oh, yeah, Daddy cooks.
You know,
I
look at it this way. I am who I am. My weight goes up and down, and I'm at a heavy point now, and so what? I love fried catfish. I am addicted to it, I think. But I don't like the store-bought. I have to go to a specialty shop. But I would love to have that down your way.
Oh, well, here is you a quick catfish story. We own some land near Augusta, and we've got a pond. And myself and my friend were out there fishing one day, and his girlfriend was with him, and we caught a big catfish. And she said, you know, I've never had catfish. So we took that fish up the hill. It was about a 5-pound catfish. It was a nice size.
Wow.
Took it up the hill to my cook shack, and while I got my griddle ready and everything, he started filleting it, handed me one side of the fish, and I put it on the griddle because we didn't have time to do the grease and all that, so I just did it on there.
Sure.
And I was actually cooking part of this fish while the other part of it was moving. That was fresh fish.
Ew.
And it was so great.
That is gross.
Oh, man. It was great,
it's
though.
It's gross, but you know what? It's tolerable. You know, my grandmother, again, my Babcia, my Jadek, his grandfather, would take us to 10 Mile River in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And we would catch our breakfast and go at home, and my grandmother would fry it up in butter. And she'd cut the head off, and the lungs are still moving, and she's frying up the stuff. I grew up that way.
Yep.
And so that kind of stuff, it is gross, but it doesn't really all gross me out. I guess I'm a pioneer girl. I don't know.
Hey, but it was so good. You don't get it any fresher, that's for sure.
That's what I would like,
yep.
Honestly. I would like that because we do get catfish. Like I said, I go to a specialty store. They get it from the South and bring it up. Mm. And they claim it's fresh, but it's not like what you had.
Yeah.
But you have it sincerely. That was fresh.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Well, we can definitely
I'm a good fish eater. I like that.
Oh, y'all come to Georgia. Oh. But I appreciate
Thank
it
you.
So much. And I want everybody to check out this comic book. And everybody go to the website. And I think we're going to have a lot of
fun.
Yeah,
go to my website, queenoftheparanormal.com, and you can read all about the different projects that I do. You read about the comic book, and you can purchase different items of the paranormal, or books or comic books or things like that, right there from the website. If you want to get a hold of Jimmy Starr or Eileen Shapiro, you can find them on Facebook, and you can get your comic books through them as well. You know, we're just selling them all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, the movie, we're going to put a casting call out, video casting call on social media for people to send us a video to hopefully that they'd be in our movie. That'd be cool.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, I like to say you're on here anytime you want.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. And I will be talking to you very soon.
Outstanding.